This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. The actor, singer, writer Alan Cumming has been in show business more than 30 years. He won a Tony for the show Cabaret and played the movie villain Floop in Spy Kids, and there have been TV dramas like The Good Wife in between. Tomorrow night, he's on stage at Seattle's Benaroya Hall premiering his new show, called Legal Immigrant. There will be some Edith Piaf.
If the sky should fall into the sea and the stars fade out around me, oh, the
Edith Piaf will be interpreted by Alan Cumming. That doesn't really surprise me. I did not expect him to interpret Pink.
Just give me a reason, just a little bit's enough. Just a second, we're not broken, just bent, and we can learn to love again. It's in the stars, it's been written in the scars on our hearts. We're not broken, just bent.
We're both bobbing our heads now. Yes, there will be Pink, and Alan Cumming will take it back to his roots and sing the Scottish song Caledonia.
So I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I came from. That's the reasons why I seem so far away today.
Alan Cumming, welcome to Seattle.
Thank you very much.
This song, Caledonia, is about being called home.
Yes.
What is home to you now? Where is home?
Oh, home is New York City.
Mm-hmm. Is that home now?
Yeah, I've lived there for a long time, 20 years actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also, you know, I feel it's an interesting thing that the show tomorrow is about me becoming an American. But I'm also talking about, that's why I'm singing that Caledonia song. I'm always Scottish first. I don't think you can ever change your, I feel like Scotland's history is sort of mushed up inside the marrow of my bones.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to, in the rehearsals, I've never been able to sing that song without crying.
Why? What are you thinking about?
It's like a sentiment that it just, I don't know, it's not like I'm thinking of something, it goes, you know, let me tell you that I love you and I think about you all the time. That's, I'm really going again. That is about that, this your constant connection to your past, to your roots. That's what gets me.
Mm. The show's called Legal Immigrant. What's the theme? What's it about?
Well, it's 10 years since I became an American citizen. I am very dismayed about the sort of negative rhetoric and derision that surrounds immigration in this country these days. And so I called it Legal Immigrant as a sort of a, you know, to raise people's eyebrows and to, because I feel it doesn't really matter what the prefix is before immigrant. The word immigrant now has a negative connotation thanks to this president. And I feel the thing that really got me was that the Citizenship and Immigration Department of the government, their website, they removed the phrase Nation of Immigrants from their description fairly recently, a couple of months ago. And I thought that was just so awful. Like this historical revisionism, rewriting history in front of our eyes, saying that we are not a nation of immigrants. When, you know, hello, Blanche, we are. Unless you're a Native American, you're an immigrant.
Yeah.
But just this idea of that it's happening right in front of our eyes, this negative connotation to not just refugees, not just the other, but anyone who is an immigrant to this country. And I feel like, you know, I'm a new immigrant to this country. I came here because I wanted to be a part of it. And the country has taken a severe change since then. And I just want to try and remind people that this country is so rich and amazing because it has welcomed so many immigrants over the years. And in the show, every song I sing, I'm going to talk about, you know, the immigration status of the composers and the singers. And really, it's a celebration of immigration.
Is every song by an immigrant? An American immigrant?
There's none by Native Americans, so yes.
Yeah, okay, got it. I can understand you having these thoughts about President Trump and removing the phrase Nation of Immigrants when you're thinking about people who could be threatened by that climate. Refugees, Muslims, we could go on. I'm also curious whether you personally feel any anti-immigrant sentiment
towards
yourself.
Me.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a kind of actual way, but like certainly in terms of living in this country in an environment where being an immigrant is looked on as something not very good. And I don't feel it's true. Immigrants are not, as with immigration rates have gone deeply down. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, look at our immigration, or everyone in the world's doing that just now. The whole displacement of people that's happened over the last 5 years or so because of the war in Syria has caused amazing political ramifications. I think the whole Brexit thing in Britain, I think, was totally to do with that. I think Trump's election had a lot to do with it too. He preyed on people's fears and, you know, the idea of the other being a scary thing. So I just feel I'm living in a time, in a country that I feel is so welcoming and is so rich, and because of its diversity, is trying to pretend it's not diverse. And that's my issue.
Again, this is the actor and singer and writer, Alan Cumming, who's coming to Seattle with a stage show at Ben Arroyo. You're premiering. Why are you premiering the show in Seattle?
Because it was there.
Yeah, could have been anywhere.
Could have been. No.
You were going west and you couldn't go any further.
I was going to fall into the sea. Uh-huh. It was because I was asked to come and do a show here, and I did my last show here like a year and a half ago. And so I was planning to do a new show. I don't know, it just seemed like a good idea. And I think the theatre is so beautiful. And
it is.
And I just decided to.
Was this the Sappy Songs show? Was your last
one? Alan Cumming sing Sappy Songs was my last one, yeah.
I love that. Thank you for singing Sappy Songs. Do you hear that regularly? It's you give a little permission. I've got a real sap side to me, and maybe more people do than I think.
Yes, I agree. And I think actually what I did with that show was I wanted to sing songs, and like, Legal Immigrant's full of Sappy Songs too, but I felt like when I was doing Sappy Songs, it was the first time I really toured extensively with a show like that, and I kind of wanted to, all the songs I wanted to sing were emotional songs and songs that I could bring something to and, you know, be authentic and be personal and vulnerable when I sing them, like I am in my acting. And so I wanted to sort of warn the audience that I was going to go for it a bit, and also it was kind of funny too. So I feel I've done that with that show, and now I feel like I have license to be sappy. I mean, I think actually sappy means willingness to embrace sentiment and emotion. And so I think everyone can do it. Like, you know, that Caledonia song, somehow it clicks and it connects with you and you don't know why you're moved. It can be even be like a melody without any words, actually. Like when I hear the pipes, for example, it's another sort of thing connected to my roots. I hear the pipes, I'm just weeping.
Well, there's music that is sentimental, that the music can be sophisticated, poetic, mysterious, but you were not above Miley Cyrus.
These chances I'm taking.
This is you.
I know.
I'm facing. Sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'll remember most. I just gotta keep going. And I gotta stay strong and just keep pushing on.
You gotta stay strong and keep pushing on like Miley Cyrus. I understand you had to come around on choosing that song for that show.
Yes, you know, it's funny because I am myself a victim to sort of self-shaming about certain tastes. And I think it's a big thing in America, that trait. But I was like, oh, it's a Miley Cyrus song, for goodness sakes. And I
like the highbrow, lowbrow?
Sort of, and just like poppy nonsense, overproduced poppy nonsense. Yeah. But then I was listening to a lot of music at that time and sort of DJing a bit in my dressing room when I was doing a show on Broadway. And I say this, that songs keep coming back to you for a reason. And actually, I think a lot of pop songs are so overproduced, you can't really hear the lyrics. You just hear this kind of wall of sound. And I think when you strip away some of them, not all of them, but this one in particular, it's a really beautiful song. The message it has is a really tender, positive one. And I think that's why that song kept coming back to me. It's for a reason, because I believe truly in the message of the song. I also did that. In that last show, I sang Avril Lavigne's Complicated.
Yeah.
And that's another one. That's got a really great message in that song, if you just strip it down and do it in a sort of, you know, bare acoustic way.
We were talking about kids, and my 11 and 8-year-old kids listen to a lot of poppy nonsense, but every once in a while,
yeah,
there's a song called Brave by Sarah Bareilles.
Oh, I love that one, yeah.
Mate, makes me cry.
Yes.
So it's funny, the odds.
See, yeah. And she's also, it's interesting, she's now, you know, on the thing on Broadway, she's going to be hosting the Tonys, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and she's got that sort of acting-y, narrative, storytelling thing to her music as well.
Do you get that? Like, would you say that about yourself? You have that?
Oh, I think...
When you perform?
When I perform, yeah. I don't have that good a voice. Spoiler alert or full disclosure.
Disclosure, yeah.
I have a nice voice, but I don't think people are coming to see me to hear the mellifluousness of my tone. They're coming to hear me interpret something. And I think that's what I... And I'm quite a good actor, and I also connect... I'm willing to be vulnerable in a way that I think you need to be to sing a song properly.
You said that you want us to question why we like something.
Or why you don't like something.
Oh, yeah, that yeah. too. Tell me
See,
about
I think
that.
I found, like, this is what, when I was doing Cabaret, the musical, not the form, on Broadway, I would have, the last time, I had
you were the MC, the Joel Grey part, famous.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. And more famous now for Alan Cumming.
It's lots of people's part. Uh-huh. No, we don't lay claim.
Okay.
But I made my dressing room into a bar. It was, and now I have a real bar in New York called Club Cumming, and it started in my dressing room, and so I would DJ every night and have a party, and I had a booze sponsor, had a full bar in my dressing room, thanks to Campari America. Uh-huh. But I would notice that I would put certain songs on, sort of more, you know, the tacky poppy sort of dancey things, and I would see people suddenly think, oh, is it okay to dance to this? Is anyone judging me? Am I being, you know, am I lesser now because I'm going to dance to like a Kylie Minogue, you know, thing, or whatever? And I remember saying, what's your problem? Who cares if, you know, if you want to dance to it, if you want to, just do it. And that was something I realized, there's a lot of that. Even in an environment like that, in my room, when everyone's having drinks, nobody's looking at you.
Yeah.
In fact, you can't see, it's so packed, you can hardly look at the floor. So I just found it really interesting that people need permission sometimes to let go. So I've kind of made it my mission. That's in a funny way, that's why I opened my bar. I wanted to encourage people to let go a bit.
Did you never need that permission? And if so, what's your secret?
I don't. I guess I'm Scottish. I think that's a big part of it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we let go quite easily. And when I want to let go, I let go. And I think it's. I was talking earlier about being very focused in my, because I do so many different things. You have to be focused on each thing at each time. And then immediately stop and go into the next thing. And I think I do that with fun as well. I'm as focused on fun as I am on my work.
But if I told you I like John Denver, you'd walk out of here, right?
I have limits. I love John Denver.
You're kidding.
Oh my God, I love him.
I sing in a dad band, a local grunge cover alt-rock band. What I really want to do, if I had the pipes, is a tribute to John Denver.
What would be your go-to John Denver
tune? Oh my God, the lesser-known ones, probably. He sings... oh gosh, I would... Tell me a favorite.
I love it. You filled up my senses.
Yes. Oh, song. Yeah.
Beautiful song.
Yeah.
What other ones has he done? He is also a fascinating person.
Yeah.
He was a big cokehead, wasn't he?
I think he tried a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll have to talk John Denver some other time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And did he die in a plane crash?
He died in a plane crash.
All the greats do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
you know, experiment. Once I was on a plane, years and years ago, I was on a plane and it got bumpy. And whenever I'm in a bumpy plane and there's another famous person on, I always imagine the headline if we crash.
Yeah.
And I remember one time it was Alec Baldwin, Marla Maples. And this is a long time ago, just after she'd broken up with Trump.
Okay.
And me. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get third billing if this plane goes down.
Went through your mind.
I think I'd get second now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you've moved up.
I think I'd get second. Or maybe equal billing with Alec. Who knows?
By the way, we're going to talk about being ready to die in a few minutes. You were kind enough to say, because Barbara Ehrenreich's coming on. She's a fabulous author, best-selling author, and she's written a book called Natural Causes. And actually, aging kind of comes into your show.
Yes, I sing a lot of songs about growing older, and you know, I talk a lot about certain bits of aging that happens on a male anatomy.
The male anatomy. Oh, I look forward to that.
I recently discovered a thing called scrotal aging when I went to my dermatologist.
Well, I wonder if Barbara Ehrenreich, if it came up in her research.
Let's
Who knows?
Ask her.
Who knows? One more thing before we leave being judgy about low culture. You know you are in... Seattle is a land of socks and sandals. We're not a fashionable place. And I heard an interview clip here where you're also not judgy about fashion.
I like Crocs. I think that... I know it's... Okay, sheep, just laugh because it's Crocs.
No, I mean, no one's judging.
Well, I think they are. I think there's a big thing about it. I think Crocs,
I don't wear Crocs.
Uggs, Jessica Simpson, all these things that people...
I love Jessica Simpson.
I did too.
That's all I wear.
Socks and sandals, though, again, not too far. Is Seattle, Seattle be too casual for you?
No, I actually have no judgment about what people want to wear. I like some things better than others. I have my own sense of style, but I think
sweatpants outside the house.
Oh, for God's sakes, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I think all this thing about you can't wear, like I saw a thing earlier today. It said you can't wear cargo pants. Why do you need so many pockets? You can't wear flip flops. We don't like your ugly men toes. We don't like you to wear tank tops because you've got armpit hair. Well, we're men. We have hairy toes and armpit hair, and I just think actually it's when someone says they don't like something about like Crocs or like. Socks and thingabobs.
Yeah,
I think that says more about the person who's saying it than the person who's wearing it.
Yes. Will you come on every day? No one cares what I think, but I refer them.
I think we're a good combo.
People to Alan Cumming.
You said you didn't want to do this job.
What job?
This. Sorry, I'm gulping. You said you thought you shouldn't do it because you've got too many kids.
Oh yeah. Well, I was saying I feel I've become fuddy-duddy, and maybe someone else should take over. Someone edgier should take
someone
over
more
this program.
This NPR show.
Yeah, what do you think? Maybe.
You have a social media person sitting a meter away from you. That's edgy.
Yes, she may take my job before this program is over. Yeah, that's Bree Ripley on the tweets. We're live tweeting the show
at
KOW. I understand people like the live tweets.
Oh, the tweets. Yeah, yes. The tweets. Love the tweets. Yes.
Okay, so about aging, before we bring... Barbara Ehrenreich to join our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Why, your show's Legal Immigrant. Again, you're at Benaroya Hall starting tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night.
Premiering the show. One night only tomorrow, Benaroya Hall. The show's called Legal Immigrant. What does that have to do with aging? Why are you talking about aging?
Well, it's about me becoming an American citizen. But it's also about things that have happened to me in my life and certain things. And I some of the songs I sang prompted me to talk about aging, and I'm in my sixth decade.
Yes, we're the same age.
Yes, 25, and so it's something that you start to notice more, and it's not even in a negative way. I'm very like Barbara. I'm very I think you should embrace your age and your time and live for now and stay in the moment and all that stuff, but you can't help but notice things, and also people bring things to your attention, of course, which is always lovely. A few years ago, I was in Scotland doing a play with the National Theatre of Scotland, and I was playing Dionysus in the Bacchae. And the Bacchae were played by these 10 black girls. And in Scotland, there aren't very many black people. So it was me, and I'm quite famous in Scotland, and 10 black girls out on a Saturday night was a sensation. And we were in a bar, and a beautiful boy walked across the bar towards us all. And all the girls were like, oh, who's he looking at? Of course, he came over to me. And I was like, thanks, girls. And this beautiful boy looked at me and went, it's Alan, isn't it? And I went, yes. And he went, I think you went to drama school with my parents. And I was like, a dagger to my heart.
Yikes.
A dagger. And I had. That was the worst thing.
Are you going to tell that story on stage?
No. Okay. No, I've blown it now on the radio. No, yes. No, that was from another show.
Benaroya Hall tomorrow night, one night, Legal Immigrant. So will you stay and keep talking about aging and feeling great and being humbled at a bar and stuff with Barbara Ehrenreich?
I'd love to.
Okay, quick break, and Alan Cumming and Barbara Ehrenreich in just a moment. Stay tuned.